Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me on another show. And this week, you know, it's funny how there's just a network of people. And if you look around and you connect and maybe you ask a few questions, you meet some new people and you always gain a new experience. I have seen other people have been connected to this person who's my guest this week. She's in upstate New York and her name is Hillary Ramo. How you doing, Hillary?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me here.
Thanks for coming on the show. You're a busy person, so I didn't know if I'd ever be able to get you on the show. You've got a lot of going on in your life.
Yeah, I do, but there's a lot going on in the world.
There is.
Very precarious times that we're in. So everybody's speeding up in a sense.
Tell me a little bit about your life, and you have several titles, and I just maybe want to get some background of how you grew up and who you are.
Well, you know, I started out with a background. I have a psychology background with a history of religion, and that's my formal training. I also have been trained in more metaphysical elements by my own grandfather. A lot of people know the story. I've told it many times, but for those who are new to my work, he taught me how to do tarot cards, how to remote view. He really honed in on psychic development since I was 5 years old.
Your grandfather had these abilities?
Yeah, he had a passion for them, and actually, he had a background, a very ordinary life. He did a lot of things in his life, and he always had a hobby of understanding these different things. Now, back then, it was quite weird.
Right, back then.
But he did. He left a formal job to pursue, you know, going out into the world as a psychic. He worked as a psychic. He worked with many well-known psychics, actually, back in the 70s, back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so when I came along, you know, he tuned something and figured that it would be, you know, I would be doing this, and he told me that. I didn't believe him, of course. Growing up, I was kind of like, yeah,
right.
So my background, growing up, that was my background. You know, he spent a lot of time mentoring me. He didn't call it remote viewing, but he called it dreaming, and mm-hmm. So he spent a lot of time developing those honing in skills, being able to psychically see into things and do all of this different stuff.
How long did it take you to develop those kind of things?
Very quickly when I was a kid. It was very, very easy for me to do as a child. And I've noticed that most kids have not a lot of stuff blocking that. Anyway, most of those blocks come from intuitive shutdowns based on conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So when kids grow up in a household where, you know, they're not really encouraged to develop their intuition or listen to their inner knowing, you know, whether it's just through parent conditioning or religious conditioning or whatever it is, it takes a little bit more work to crack that sludge, I call it, a psychic sludge.
Right.
And then you start to pursue that.
There's also the ego, I think, that as you get older...
Oh, yeah, the ego. But see, the ego for me was always a different thing. I mean, of course, I've bumped up into it over the course of my life, and I learned a lot about it in my school years, studying psychology and where its rightful place is. And I think that, you know, having a spiritual connection to something greater than yourself really puts the ego back into its proper position.
Yeah, it kind of goes, I guess I don't know everything, do I?
Nobody knows everything.
So Hillary is a renowned expert on multidimensional healing, and also she has her own talk show that she does on the worldwide internet, Intuitive Clairvoyant. You're even an author, aren't you?
I am. I've written 2 books, and I've contributed to 4.
Wow. One of your books is Money Manners for Mind, Body, and Spirit. So you've done a lot, and you traveled across the world. What are some of the places you've been?
Oh, well, let's see. I've been to Machu Picchu. I've been to Egypt a few times. I've gone to Mexico, to Stonehenge. I've made frequent trips to the southwestern United States. All along the West Coast, there's some beautiful Sequoia, Redwood Forest. I've made a point to travel to these different places just because I've been called to them. I mean, there were certain points in my life, in my spiritual development, where these different sites would actually call me. And I would just listen, and I would find myself drawn to go to them, and the means would, you know, the means would come forward, the money would manifest, the timing would open up. And it was always significant timing mm-hmm. in my past that mm-hmm. I would go to these particular places. And as I would walk through these ancient ruins and just really fall in love with the symbols on the walls and just run my hand along the walls and make contact with them, it really helped to awaken something inside of me. It was almost like a code that was awakened. And a code that I think we all carry, that we're all meant to open up at certain points in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to these sites, they're built on these incredible vortexes of energy. The ancients understood the geomancy of the earth and where to build these temples. And, you know, the ley lines and the magnetics and the astrological constellation alignments and all of these things played a really important part. They were mainstream, just like football and March Madness basketball is part of the majority of Western culture anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much energy as we all as a culture put into these mainstream things now, you know, the ancients would put into those things. It was just different priorities. And so these places would be built on these incredible, powerful places in the earth. And so they're still active. So when we travel and we go there now, we're still feeling that connective energy, and we reclaim who we are
mm-hmm.
As a spiritual being, having a human experience by going to these places and visiting these particular points on the planet.
So there was a time, Hillary, that you think we knew a lot more than we do now. We had a greater understanding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of that understanding's gone underground.
Mm-hmm.
the secret societies, the indigenous know that. A lot of different, you know, quote, areas of specialty, I guess you would say, understand these connections, and they keep it hidden.
Right.
And I don't, you know, maybe there was a purpose for that, you know, over these last few centuries. Maybe it was just used for own gain, and I think the indigenous protected it
mm-hmm.
for us. They protected it. They knew that if that kind of understanding, you know, fell into the wrong hands, it could be manipulated. And the secret societies, certainly not, you know, not everybody in those secret societies participates in this, but there are certainly forces that work in the world that do have a lot of power and control, and they do understand mm-hmm. the cycles, and they do understand the energy aspects of what we're dealing with and what we're going through, even currently. And so these will be played off, even if in some cases enhanced or used as a spin to provide different perspectives
mm-hmm.
or different, you know, channelings of energies. And it's a very real thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. I think more people are beginning to. I think there's a lot of people out there doing great work to expose the more occult understandings of the energies that play in the universe and on this planet and within our bodies and our psyches and our multidimensionalness. And so what do we really need to focus our energy on is understanding what it means for us and how to really use those energies as a way to rebirth ourselves into a higher evolutionary understanding of the universe, if that makes sense.
I was reading on your bio that you had a near-death experience in 2007, and that also was a shift for you as well?
It was definitely a shift because I had just been to Egypt 5 months before that had happened. And I had this extraordinary awakening process. It was my first trip. And it was just an incredible, powerful moment in my life. And here, five months later, I'm you know, looking to check out. And I knew at that point my time wasn't done here. I wasn't done with what I was supposed to be doing. And I was really disappointed in that. But at the same time, I had made peace with the fact that if it is my time to go, then so be it. And, you know, I really had to say goodbye to everything in my life. You know, the doctors basically said you have to say goodbye to your, you know, just make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. And so, you know, I have two young children. I had to look at them and just know as a mom that this was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, you know, so that's kind of, I think, the ultimate detach,
mm-hmm.
too, before the actual experience. So the ultimate detach and letting everything go and saying goodbye to everything, including your own children, is a massive ego shedding.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had this actual experience. It was just an incredible, life-changing thing. And
did
I had
you,
all of...
I'm sorry, Heather. Did you have an experience where you actually left your body? Or?
Yeah, I did. I did. I left my body and I was in the ethers and I was just surrounded in this purple color. And I had an extraordinary interaction between myself as a spiritual entity and these three actual beings that were kind of formless but kind of shiny white at the same time. And, you know, I've drawn them. I have never shared it publicly with anybody. But this particular incident, I was just given a lot of information.
Now, who would these beings be, if you had a guess? Or do you
know? My angels, my guides.
Okay.
Yes, beings that look out for me. I've always felt a connection to other dimensional beings as a child because I was conditioned to travel through the ethers, and I met all kinds of different, you know, spirits and entities and had all kinds of different experiences. So I was just very comfortable for me. I was very used to this, actually. But what was so powerful about it was that I actually fully left my body. I was looking down at my body on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fully aware of the situation and what was happening, and I could see and feel and sense everybody on the floor in the ICU, and I was just floating in the room. And that's when the room filled with this purple light, and these three beings came in. And at first, I consciously did not, when I went back into my body, I consciously could not remember what they said to me. But over the course of time, I've just had these revelations, like, oh, like a deja vu experience,
right,
if you will. And so we had this conversation, and they were telling me this information, and I was agreeing to certain things. I was making an agreement, a pact, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back in and I woke up the next morning, I was aware. I was fully aware of the experience. But there was sort of breakthroughs of downloading, I guess you could call it, downloading information about, you know, what I was supposed to. I just knew I had work to do.
Right.
I mean, that was the gist of it. I just knew I had work to do. And I was determined to get it done. And it was like being given the ultimate work directions.
Mm-hmm, right.
you could say.
You know your purpose now. Completely.
Yeah, really. And so from there on, I just switched gears. And totally, I left a career, and I was doing what I do now, but I was also doing real estate. I left it and poured my whole efforts into what
I do. So in the last 3 years, Hillary, you're saying, in the last 3 years, you really have shifted gears on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was shifted immediately. Yeah, I made decisions. That whole summer after that happened, I made decisions based on everything that was aligning me with what I do now. And 3 months later, I was hiking Mount Shasta.
Hmm, wow.
And that's where I really just kind of made the statement that, you know, yeah, I'm here, I can do this. And then, you know, I'd say 4 months after that, I started my radio show. Maybe it was a little sooner. And, you know, I'm still doing that now, and that was part of this. It was part of doing, you know, the work of getting the message out there for mostly alternative healing at that point. I wanted people to really connect with the concept of alternative healing. It was really important for me to pour a lot of energy into communicating the alternative healing process of making people aware that we are more than a body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was partially part of that directional conversation that happened.
So, Hillary, you are a believer that, do you believe that, like, diseases, because I've talked it on my show about many times, but a lot of diseases we get, or most of the diseases we get, are based on our thoughts and our feelings, and we're connected to that, and even beyond that?
Well, I think it's part of it. I think we have to take into account that, you know, even though most of us feel like we're not from here, and that we don't want to be here, you know, we're from some other planet or some other dimension, and, you know, we're stuck here, we are part of here. Our bodies are part of the earth. And, you know, our bodies stay after we die. And so our spirit and consciousness can continue on wherever it chooses, and it can manifest in whatever life form it wishes to manifest in. And, you know, our bodies stay here. So in a way, we have to honor the biological processes, too. So when we get sick, you know, our body's going through whatever it needs to go through. You know, there's a whole universe inside of our bodies.
Is that
a whole active role that, you know, cellular, you know, beings, they're conscious, actually have? So, you know, we're kind of the large entity as the body, but inside of our body, we have, on a molecular level, even on a cellular level, you know, we have quite a bit going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's something that needs to be shifted or aligned, or we have disease growing in our body, I mean, we have an incredibly powerful immune system to fight that. And a whole series of activities happens when a disease happens. And, you know, we are also constantly bombarded with, you know, environmental complexities that are nature-made and man-made. And so, you know, we have a lot of interesting alchemy going on in the body.
We have a lot of things to deal with.
But also,
I guess what I'm getting at is also what I'm asking is that, like, we're in disharmony. When the body shows us an illness, this is kind of what I've always felt, you know, is that I'm just not in harmony with something. I need to shift back. Do you follow me on that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do, and I agree. I think the self-reflection process is very healing. And when you sit back and you reflect on, you know, your body's asking you to be at rest, or if we're diagnosed with something a little more serious and long-term, you know, we're being given an opportunity to get to know ourselves better. That's how I look at it. So getting to know ourselves better and more intimately is ultimately the most, you know, one of the greatest gifts that we can possibly invest our time and energy into.
I'm sorry, Hillary, I didn't mean to cut you off, but do you feel like, here's kind of what happens to me. I guess this is how I know it. If I hang on to negative energy, I mean, there's a balance in all things, but if I hang on to it, it seems like I'll get sick. And so me, it's always trying to get back to that peaceful, joyful state.
Yeah, because you raise your vibration.
And that's what brings your health back, you're saying?
Yeah, because when you raise your vibration mentally and emotionally, you're raising the vibration of your cellular structure. So if you raise the vibration of your cellular structure, and this is known in like Rife technology, where frequencies affect cellular entities. So if you have a parasite or you have cancer cells, Rife technology can actually cause those cells to implode.
Hmm.
Because they vibrate at a very specific frequency. All things vibrate at a frequency. All things.
Right.
So when you have a lot of negativity, you're basically vibrating at that harmonic resonance. So you're basically saying, okay, I'm agreeing to take on this frequency right now, and I'm feeling it. And so then, of course, your whole body feels it.
And over a period of time, what could happen then?
Well, I mean, it causes discord. It causes disharmonic frequencies. So your body will get sick.
Your body says, hey, guess what? You got a tumor. Really? I better do something about that.
But see, the thing that we have to be careful of is, you know, getting into the whole spiritual guilt aspect. And I see this happen a lot. So, you know, if you get sick or if you come, you're diagnosed with a disease, it's really important to not only as a person be, you know, going through it, to not take on that, oh, my God, I'm not doing it right. I'm not spiritually connected. I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done something wrong. I have failed at enlightenment. That's not the case. Okay, these are all just teaching opportunities for us to go in and move. Now, when we're watching somebody else go through that, it's really important to keep you know, our ego out of it and not assume that we know what's going on with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Think, oh, you've just been diagnosed with cancer. You're definitely not getting something.
Right. It's so easy to make that. And that's the ego step in it. We have to take a break. Hillary Ramo from upstate New York. And if you want to find out more, HillaryRamo.com. She's my guest this week on Out There.
Out there.
Shh. Listen. That's a bullfrog. What's that? A cicada. That's an owl. Wait, what's that?
Oh, the camptown lady sing this song. Doo-dah,
I think that's doo-dah. A donkey.
The swamp town mud hole stinks so strong. Oh, da do da oh.
Shrek!
Hey, kids.
Hi.
That little cicada bug's got nothing on me, right?
Donkey, give the children a little space.
Oh, they got plenty of space, Shrek. Wide open forest space. Why are you always telling me to calm down and be quiet? Give them space. Do I talk too much? I'm real good at being quiet. I'm quiet right there. Quiet again. Donkey quiet. Snail quiet. Turtle quiet.
Get out and explore nature. You never know what you might find. To learn more about all the fun stuff waiting for you outdoors, go to discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. This message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, kids, you know, some consider slugs a delicacy.
Ew!
Hi, this is Jill Cornwell, and I'm a telepathic animal communicator,
and you're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
Her name is Hillary Ramo. She basically at 5 years old, thanks to her grandfather, started to develop some of her skills that she has now. She's a renowned expert, multidimensional healing, and also an intuitive clairvoyant, which is, I guess, psychic. Would that be another term?
Sure.
And she's an author, and she also has her own talk show, and a healer. We're going to talk about, you know, we just had this big earthquake in Japan. And the other day, I saw some people on the internet posting how the Japanese had this coming, God's wrath, all of that. What is your take on that?
Oh, you know, first, my prayers and my heart just goes out to the Japanese people and the earth. It's just such a catastrophe, and there's so many different dimensions to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just important to start off with that, I think, because we really just have to send and lend our positive energy and prayers. And that, sometimes that's all we can do. So just connecting in prayerful thought and compassion and focusing it on that particular location or wherever you feel called to focus on is really just, you know, all we can do. And that's definitely not a small thing.
No. Do you feel, what do you feel is going on with the earth? You said earth changes, but what is the earth doing?
Well, she's going through a birthing process. You know, she's going through, we forget that she's a live, living entity. She's not just a hunk of rock hanging somewhere in space, stuck in orbit. You know, she's got her own, I call her she because she really is like a mother. She's given life to everything that's on her. And, you know, we are very intimately attached to her. And we're connected, and she is source for us in many ways. I mean, most of us spend time looking up and thinking, you know, source is up there, and we forget our feet are planted squarely here,
mm-hmm.
and we don't bring the energy and love and wishful thinking back to her. And I think that is an imbalance that people are starting to, you know, be forced to make because of the changes that are going on. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I'm an intuitive. So when I look into earth changes, I tap in intuitively, and I meditate with the energy, and I take a look at pictures, and, you know, I work psychically on that level, too, not only with clients, but I work on it on a larger level with earth changes and different things that happen. You know, we have technology on this planet. We have HARP. We have a variety of different things. I don't feel necessarily that HARP is related to this.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that. I do pick that up on different things. Katie, for example, I feel was definitely connected to HARP.
Really?
Yeah. But for Japan, when you look at the tectonic plates, when you look at the maps online and you do some research on it, you've noticed there's a ring of fire. And it goes along Japan, up through, you know, over to Alaska, down through British Columbia, mm-hmm. down through the western coast, through Chile. We had some pretty significant earthquakes. If you look at some of the charts that chart them along this entire plate. Now, this was a very important place, you know, Mu. When you go back to the continent of Mu, if you look into, there's people who have written wonderful, incredible books that have to do with Churchwood was a really important one. He wrote The Lost Continent of Mu. He wrote several books on it. He did a tremendous lifelong research on the continent that was once there that now we see remnants of it with Hawaiian Islands, with Indonesian Islands, and all, you know, different island groupings around the Pacific Ocean. Those are all remnants of a continent that was once there. And so the sinking of that continent was documented on pretty much all of the old ruins around the world. They all have some kind of translation to the Western world, the Western underworld, the Western, being significantly documented. So when you think about it, if we were to lose a continent and we were to lose all the people on it, and that would be a pretty significant catastrophe,
mm-hmm.
we would definitely honor and we would mourn and we would grieve and we would pray for all of those souls that passed. So this is not an unrealistic thing that people would set up in their own way back then monuments to the significant happening. So this has been very, very, very well documented in Colonel James Churchward Ward's, that's Church Ward, W-A-R-D, his work. His books are kind of hard to find now, but if you can, I suggest you really get copies of them and read them because they're very well done. And so we're looking at a rebirthing of this particular area, which really helped to rebirth the world back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Hand Cloud talks a lot about this in Catastrophobia. She's rewriting that book currently. It's fantastic. She talks about a collective psychological wound put on to the human race because of this. And so, you know, the Bible talks about the Great Flood. We have kind of a story that's been left for all of us to follow in all of the great books, in all the different religions, not just one or two. All of them have a significant storyline based on some event, catastrophe, you know, related event happening. So when you start to kind of put this all together, we really do carry collective memories. You know, it's part of us being multidimensional. And in these collective memories, in these cellular memories that we carry, our genetic memories even, we have this vague recollection of something happening. That's why all of us kind of sit on the end of our seats feeling like, oh my God, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're unconsciously relating back to those memories. And, you know, now we have earth changes happening. People are getting, all of these memories are getting stirred, and people are going, oh my gosh. Because even deep down, they might even have a feeling we've been through this before. Well, we have been through this before.
Do you think that we're heading into a time where we're going to see a lot more volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, devastating natural occurrences?
Yes.
And what is that going to do to the planet and the population?
Well, it's going to change the planet. You know, she's changed before. We've had tectonic movement where, you know, continents have shifted. And I disagree that it's happened over millions and millions of years. I think we've had change, significant change, due to these kind of events. The Earth is going to survive through this. The problem I have is that we have an interesting dynamic with the nuclear activity that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Earth changes along with nuclear meltdowns around the world are a problem. That's a problem for rebuilding. That's a problem for, we'd have to go underground. We'd have to find some way to survive with that. You know, if we have an earthquake, and people die in it, you know, it's a very sad thing. We all die eventually.
Right.
And it really depends on where we're at with our ability of, you know, with our understanding and our peace with death. You know, the Western culture has a real problem with death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a good relationship with it. And, you know, it's very traumatizing for us. So every time we lose somebody, we go through trauma over and over and over again. Eastern cultures have a little bit different take on it, and it's more of a celebratory passage, a rite of passage. Some of the indigenous do that, too. So it really depends on what your look is. And yes, these souls are passing on. They're not gone forever. They may be in this third-dimensional reality, but they're moving on into their next phase.
Mm-hmm.
And so being part of the earth changes, you know, that's just part of it. I mean, if I were to pass on in a massive earthquake, My relationship with death, I definitely know that there's more to life than the physical body. I've already experienced that myself. I've seen that there's other life after you move out of your body. When you're completely out of your body in death, you are definitely, you're greeted. There's other entities that are there. They're like midwives. They're supposed to help you through that. And then depending on what your belief systems are, it will also affect your experience.
And then there are those that come back again, right?
Yeah.
Again and again.
Yes, reincarnation is very real. That's your choice. You can come back if you want.
Or you can go somewhere else.
True.
And there's probably so many places. I mean, I haven't talked to a person yet. How do you know how many places there are, you know? There's so many different places out there that we can go to. So when these earth changes come, is there something we can do to make ourselves more ready?
Yeah, be realistic, be logical about them, but also listen to your intuitive senses. You know, there's a lot of people who are disconnected from those. And so they're going to feel a lot of anxiety, you know, a lot of, you know, antsiness. And if we learn for anything from animals, when there's earth changes, animals will definitely be the first ones to tune in. Birds will leave. You won't hear birds. Your animals will get, your domestic animals will get a little antsy, and you know they're picking up on the vibrations. They're picking up on something happening. Well, we do too. It just depends on how in tune you are.
And I go ahead, Taylor.
We've gotten off natural cyclic time, and we're really a world of man-made time. And this is a problem, because for those who are on, you know, set from 9 to 5, or they go to bed at a certain time, and they wake up at a certain time, and, you know, they count the year by the holidays or the birthdays or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're really not in tune with the solstices and the equinoxes and the moon cycles, and so they're really not able to watch for the changes. You know, today we have an incredible supermoon
mm-hmm.
that hasn't happened for quite some time.
14% bigger, isn't it going to be?
Yeah, and it is. It definitely is. I mean, we were looking at it last night, and you could definitely tell a size difference. And today is actually the fullest part. And then tomorrow we have the spring equinox. March 9th, we just had a very significant moment in the Mayan calendar. Carl Coleman is an incredible resource, and so is Barbara Hand Clow, to look into the Mayan calendar to understand the cycles. He's right on. He's, you know, he predicted that March 9th was the next underworld, and, you know, whatever happens within that underworld, you know, the first few days is going to set the tone. And what did we have happen from March 9th to March 12th? We had massive change. We had a massive earthquake. We're still having problems. And we also had a nuclear problem.
Let me ask you this, Hillary. Do you, because there's been, I've been reading these reports, and I want to get your opinion on it. There's been massive fish die-offs, animal die-offs, birds. And then some connected it to the earthquake. Do you think that there's a connection to those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on these things, but again, I tap into the moon intuitively. And what I have seen, I'm not a scientist, but what I have seen intuitively is that some of it is natural and some of it is man-caused.
Hmm.
And when we have cracks in the earth or cracks underneath the ocean, we have big releases of methane gas. And methane gas will kill anything instantly. The animals. So what we're seeing are some of that, I think. I also think, and, you know, there's some technologies out there that are causing really big problems
mm-hmm.
with these kind of things. And when they're tested, you're going to see a result of some of these things. I mean, everybody is kind of forgetting about the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, umpteen million gallons of, you know, chemicals were poured in there, not to mention the amount of oil. Everybody, it's been brainwashed right out of people's minds because the media is no longer covering it. You notice how it's just disappeared?
I know. And I see it every so often. And I say to my wife, we didn't even clean up Exxon Valdez in Alaska. And all of a sudden, the Gulf is clear after all this time?
No, it's not clear. It's not clear. You can ask anybody living down there. It's not clear. It's not clear. It's all sunk. You know, they're still spraying chemicals on it to sink it.
And what are the chemicals doing to people?
Well, that too. And it's in the rain cycle.
Yeah.
So when it evaporates up into the clouds, it spreads all over everybody. I mean, that's getting into the jet stream along with the nuclear fallout. And so what do? You just tell people it's no big deal, or you ignore it, and you just wipe it out of the media's forefront. And then usually what's wiped out of the media's forefront is wiped out of people's minds, because that's how connected we are to what we're told through television.
Do you think that people, part of the reason maybe that they don't get in touch with the intuitive as well, is because their focus is on too many other things?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, that it takes some time to develop that part of the brain. And when you're mostly logical, you know, if you do a very linear kind of job, or, you know, you're just very in touch with what you have to get done and making money, and that's your goal. And not that money's bad, but it's just that, you know, when money can become a focus that's very off balance, that's why I wrote a book on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take those kind of things and make them priorities, you're putting the other things that should be priorities on the back burner, and that's where and intuitiveness is one of them. And then we question it. We haven't trusted our voice of intuition. You know, everybody has those moments of knowing, but then they spend another 24, 48 hours, oh, gosh, should I think about this? I don't know. Maybe. Well,
we're distracted by so many things. The people I know around here, kind of middle-class workers, you know.
Well, take a pill or go to the doctor, right, and they'll tell you you're crazy and put you on a prescription or something along those lines. I mean, we really have been kind of kicked out of our own intuition.
And I see that people have so much going on in their life. Their kids are involved in all kinds of sports. They're always on the go. And they don't slow down and take time to go within and just get to a quiet place. I see a lot of that from people. And I'm glad my life's not like that, because they're always on the go. And I'm thinking, when do you take time?
They don't. unfortunately. And then your children learn to do the same thing.
Mm, it's almost like it's by design.
Well, it is by design.
I mean, on a greater
level. You
don't
want a country full of awakened, empowered people because they're much harder to control.
That's exactly what I was getting at. So what do you think is, do you think that, like with, how do you feel about Egypt or even Libya with the people rising up over there? Is that connected to this consciousness?
Well, yeah, because we're seeing an awakening. And actually, March 9th, as Carl Coleman interpreted the Mayan calendar, is about the wave of unity consciousness.
Mm.
And so we're seeing a wake-up. We're seeing a massive wake-up. We're seeing a wake-up with people connecting into earth changes. We're also seeing a wake-up with people saying, you know, enough is enough. There's enough information out there now for people to really start connecting the dots with how the elite, how the people in power have maintained power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not happy about it. And they shouldn't be happy about it.
Nope.
Because basically we're playing with so much power invested into the military-industrial complex that... And everybody knows that the agendas of a military-industrial complex has to do with defense and profit.
Mm-hmm.
So if defense and building up weapons of mass destruction and all of this other stuff is part of, you know, what our you know, where most of our money is, and profit, you know, companies that just basically care about dominating the world through profit, if that's really what's running the world, then we're in some deep you-know-what.
Well, it was Eisenhower. Wasn't it Eisenhower who warned us about when he was leaving office?
Absolutely. And Eisenhower also knew a whole lot about secret projects. And he was shown really the realities of what's going on in the world. His great-granddaughter, who's come on my show, Laura Eisenhower, has done a lot of exposing on this.
Mm.
And talking about, you know, projects as far as Star Wars projects go and what they're really doing, and they're building bases on Mars and the moon. I mean, there's a whole lot of things going. I mean, trillions of dollars don't just disappear out of the budgets and go nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're just about out of time, Hillary. And is there a couple of parting thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I think the most important thing you can do now is to just, you know, learn the difference between being in fear and being in peace and love. And it sounds, without sounding Pollyanna-ish about, you know, that statement, it really changes your perspective as to how you experience these things. And if you're in fear, you're going to experience these kind of things in a much more drastic and traumatic way. You do need to prepare. You know, learn how to grow. How many people out there know how to grow a vegetable?
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn how to be self-sustaining. You know, learn how to filter your own water. Learn, I mean, not going into, you know, survival mania kind of thing, but, I mean, just learn how to do it.
Learn how to build an underground bunker, right?
Well, learn how to dig.
Get a bunch of cement.
I don't know, you know. I mean, on a realistic level, keep your minds open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the internet now while it's still operating. You know, if we ever lose it, we would be losing a tremendous amount of valuable information. Do your research now while you have time. And you have, you know, the ways to connect to it. Listen to shows. Share interviews like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't have books out there to sell you about this information. This is purely just on my own research and talking to people over the last 4 years on the radio. And
same here. Same
yeah,
here.
And so these kind of things are important to make people aware of. And last but not least, you know, trust your gut. I mean, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you've had a horrible dream, don't dismiss it. You know, pay attention to what it's telling you.
The dreams will tell us a lot of things, won't they?
Absolutely.
If somebody wants to find out more about how to get a multidimensional healing or just some kind of healing from you or even a reading, I guess go to your website. Is that the best way?
Yeah, they can go to my website. I do phone sessions. I do phone sessions on Skype for international clients. So you can go to my website, HillaryRaimo.com, and you'll find my session page, and you can contact me through my website.
Keep up the good work, Hillary. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.